You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Jets podcast for Thursday, March 21st, 2019. This is your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. Great to have you with us today. Get your brackets in. The NCAA tournament gets going today. I know we've actually had a couple games over the last two nights. We had the first four games, but I think the NCAA tournament really only starts today, Thursday, all the action. But this is not a college basketball podcast. This, of course, is a New York Jets podcast. We're going to do a mailbag today. We usually do mailbags on Thursdays. Last week we missed in all of the craziness of free agency. But before we get to that, we do have some news. The Jets have signed a backup quarterback. It is Trevor Siemian, the former Denver Bronco and Minnesota Viking. He spent this year with the Vikings after the Broncos sent him away. The Jets signed him to a one-year, $2 million deal. That's what the reports are. And it's not really much to break down when you're talking about a backup quarterback. There are just no quality quarterbacks who are backups in the NFL. So I kind of use what I call the Nick Foles test. And by that, what I mean is, now, look, if your team is quarterback dependent, if you are counting on your quarterback to lift your team up, to do it all, to make the team better than the sum of its parts, to, you know, carry the load on offense, it doesn't really matter who your backup quarterback is going to be. If he has to play extended snaps, your team's in a lot of trouble. That's just the way it is. Unless you have a situation where you've already got a guy and you've drafted a young guy early, like a situation where you have Brett Favre, but you've drafted Aaron Rodgers, or even to a lesser extent when you had Tom Brady, you draft Jimmy Garoppolo, as the Packers and Patriots have been in situations they've been in over the last two decades. But for the most part, if you're a team that's pretty much depending on your quarterback to do it all, you're in trouble if your backup goes in. But I put backup quarterbacks up against the Nick Foles test. And that's obviously Foles was the quarterback up who led the Eagles to the Super Bowl, led the Eagles to a championship not that long ago. And by Nick Foles test, what I mean is, if you have a quality team around a quarterback where you don't need the quarterback to do it all, where you've got a defense that's not going to force you to win shootouts consistently, where you've got quality weapons around him, guys who can get open, where you got an offensive line that can protect him, where you're only asking your quarterback to make a handful of plays, to you're making your quarterback's job easy, but you still need him to make a handful of plays, can he win you games? And to me, Siemian passes the Nick Foles test. Now, I'm not saying the Jets are going to win the Super Bowl if he goes in there. I'm not even saying the Jets are going to be necessarily win a ton of games. But I think Simeon's got a track record of credible play. He's at least shown he can play credibly for stretches. So that's the Nick Foles test. On the Jets to build up the supporting cast around the quarterback as much as they can, because, you know, second year quarterback, you'd also don't want to put it all on his plate. But It's a move that I think of the backup quarterbacks who were available, Siemian is probably at the top of the list. Not that he's great, but I think he's probably a better option than a lot of the guys out there. We've seen him in a situation in Denver where he had a really good defense. The team won 10 games. And I think quarterback record's one of the most understood, misused stats out there, because that does not show you that you're a quality quarterback. But what it does show you in the context is, what are you expecting out of a backup quarterback? You're expecting a guy to not be bad enough to cost you games if everything else is working. You're expecting a guy to be good enough if everything else around him is good to make a few plays here or there and just do enough to get your team a win. And I think Siemian can do that. Only making $2 million this year. So, I mean, that's a cheap deal. Even for a backup quarterback, that's a cheap deal. No complaints about that. Much better to give Trevor Siemian $2 million than to give Josh McCown $10 million. McCown, of course, if you haven't read, he posted, there was a social media post from McCown. It may have been from his age. I don't remember. Last week seems like forever ago, but there was a social media post where McCown said, you know, he was interested in playing this year, but because of family stuff, he could not commit to it yet. The Jets could not wait around for McCown, because the other backup quarterbacks like the Siemians are going off the board. And if you got to a point where you're waiting on McCown and then McCown says, well, I'm not playing this year, then, you know, you'd be out of luck. So the Jets had to make a move. So they grabbed Simeon, and, you know, a guy who's going to get mocked because he was not a great player in Denver. You know, he was not all that, even though they won some games, he was not all that successful. He took over as the quarterback. He beat out Mark Sanchez for the starting job back in 2016, took over the huddle of the defending Super Bowl champions, and they failed to make the playoffs. But, you know, the thing about Simeon is, and part of this is just people get on John Elway because John Elway has not done a good job since the Super Bowl. So Simeon's used as a kind of a way to criticize John Elway, the fact that the Broncos GM had this guy starting and this guy wasn't that good. But really, if you look in context at what Simeon's done in his career, he was a seventh-round draft pick, which, you know, you're not expecting much from a seventh-round draft pick in any context, much less the quarterback position. And he was kind of a surprise seventh-round pick. And, I mean, I got to be honest with you. If you're looking by the standards of starting quarterbacks in the NFL, Simeon is not much to get excited about. But he actually, for what you used to get him, a seventh round pick, he's actually been pretty good. That's actually a pretty good return on your investment for a seventh round pick. What he's been, he's a guy with a, you know, positive 30-24 touchdown to interception rate, which is not spectacular. I mean, you want the rate to be much better. You want it to not just be positive, but it's not terrible for a backup quarterback. Career passer rating around 80, which, again, is not spectacular. I mean, it's not what you want in your starting quarterback, but it's not, again, if we're talking a backup, that's reasonable. That's not horrific. I actually think if you look through the backup quarter, I've not written it out on paper. I've not done all the math on, you know, where exactly Simeon rates, but you want your backup quarterback probably to be somewhere between number 33 and number 64 in terms of quality in the league. And I would imagine Simeon somewhere in that range and probably near the upper half. I think he's probably, and this says a lot about, this probably says more about the backup quarterbacks in the league than it does Simeon. He's probably on the upper, one of the upper tier of backup quarterbacks in this league. So I think, you know, all in all, for what they're going to do, for what they're looking for what you're looking for in a backup quarterback, a pretty solid signing for the Jets. Locked On Jets podcast on this Thursday. It's a mailbag Thursday, so let's jump into our questions. First question, what are some backup quarterback options if McCown should retire? Ryan Tannehill seemed like a no-brainer until the Titans traded for him. Webb's still on the team, but he's an unknown who has yet to take a snap. Should we be earnestly looking for a backup quarterback? How about Trevor Siemian? And I'm joking around. That question was left before the Siemian move. Let's start off with an easy one. That one's right in the wheelhouse. That one's a pretty easy one. Our next question, centers and corners. What's the likelihood of one of the top three centers or top six corners or so being available on the draft board when the Jets have their two picks in the third round? My hunch is that it's probably not going to happen at the center position. I think, and look, this is pure speculation because, look, every year people make prognostications about, well, this is never going to happen, and then it ends up happening. My hunch is that you'll see the centers go pretty early. It's possible, you know, a number six corner in the draft could fall to the Jets in the third round. But as I always say, I mean, I think really the first two rounds are the only two situations where you can reasonably expect a rookie starter to step in and do a credible job. A lot of people smarter when it comes to the draft than I have said that this is a deep center year. But I think once you get to the third round, and we'll talk in more detail about the guys who are available in the future shows in the weeks ahead. But I think that it's probably going to be tough to fill these positions in the third round. I think if you're the Jets, you're probably going to have to look to trade down if you're going to want a guy who's going to reasonably fill out one of these positions. I think that that's just the way it is. You're just asking to, in the third round and beyond, you're pleasantly surprised if you get a guy who can contribute as a rookie year, but it's not something you can really count on. You can't count on a third round or lower rookie to step into the starting lineup and play. Now you can expect, you know, there's a reasonable shot of getting a guy who's going to be good in the future after he develops a little bit, but I just think it's too much to ask. I think that, and we'll talk about some of the guys who will be available going forward. Next question: if the Jets stay put at three and you have the choice between Nick Bosa and Josh Allen, who do you lean towards? Bosa. If those are my two choices, I'm going Bosa. I think that Bosa is just a more complete prospect right now. I think there are areas of Allen's game, especially the pass rusher, that need to be refined. Whereas Bosa, I think, you know, is ready to step in and really contribute in a big way in this league. You know, the injury with Bosa concerns me, especially. See, the thing about Bosa is that you naturally compare him to his brother. His brother's dealt with some injuries. His brother's one of the top pass rushers in the league when he's on the field, but there have been some injuries he's dealt with, so it's kind of not fair. It's probably not a great idea because he is different from his brother. He's not the same player as his brother, so the injuries concern me a little bit. But this is a good example of why this whole debate, are the Jets running a 3-4 or are the Jets running a 4-3? One reason, not the only one, but one reason where I think that this is just kind of overstated, because the way I view it is, if you have a guy who can rush the passer and you're running a quote-unquote 3-4 and he's more comfortable putting his hand on the ground, why would you not let him do that? And the same goes the other way. If you're running a quote-unquote 4-3 and you have a guy who's more natural, who's better off rushing from a stand-up position, why would you not do it? What kind of a coach if a guy is a good pass rusher and he's comfortable doing it one way, what difference does it make to you whether his hand's on the ground or whether he's standing up? And that's, the Jets have made some headlines because, they're running the quote-unquote 3-4 defense. Well, Bosa's not a guy who's really going to be effective standing up. He's more a guy who's going to be effective from a defensive end position. So what? So draft him and let him put his hand on the ground. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you can run a perfectly effective defense with an edge rusher who sticks his hand on the ground. Now, Allen's a guy, if you're looking for a more traditional guy, who quote-unquote 3-4 hybrid kind of guy who can drop into coverage a little bit, Allen's your guy. But I just think Bosa's a better prospect at this point. I think Allen's game needs to be refined in a few areas. If those are my two options and, nothing else is on the table and I can't trade down for a healthy package of picks, that's where I'm going. I'm going Bosa. I think Bosa is, even with the injury concerns, he is coming off a serious injury, but even with the injury concern, I think that's the direction I'd go in. Next question. Considering the time that Maccagnan wasted in not getting a decent center during free agency, assuming he doesn't sign Wisniewski, are there any decent ready-to-start centers the Jets can get in the draft? Yes, if they trade down, they can. There are going to be guys. Bradbury's the guy I have my eye on right now from NC State. I think he's a really good prospect. He's a guy who I would be very excited to see the Jets get. All my complaints about the center position, I think, would go away if they got. And there are a couple other guys out there. We'll talk more in depth about draft prospects. But if you want to know the guy who's kind of my guy right now, who I'm hoping the Jets can figure out a way to trade down and get this guy, it would be Bradbury, the kid from NC State, because I think he's got a shot to be a really good center. And the Jets, the last 2 years have been rough for the Jets, because you think about what this team has had at center prior to the last 2 years. You had Kevin Mawai, a Hall of Famer, a guy who's going to the Hall of Fame this summer. You had Kevin Mawai for a long time. And then after Mawai left, after the 2005 season, that year, first round, you draft Nick Mangold, and Mangold does a great job for over a decade. For close to almost two decades, you had guys who were at the top of the pinnacle of the position playing the center position for you. And now to have Wesley Johnson and Spencer Long, and to be looking at Jonathan Harrison playing center for you, man, Jets, get a center. We've been spoiled, but I think it's important. I think it's an important position. And, we talk about reaching in the draft for a need. And it's not even so much I think reaching may not be the right term, but, you talk about best player available. And in many instances, I'm a big fan of best player available. I'm a big fan of just taking the best talent and disregarding position, because I think many instances when you don't do that, you're being short-sighted. You're just adding a guy because he helps you in the short run. That's a more immediate need for this year, but over a 10-year period, the other guy is going to give you more value. I think in many instances when you talk about drafting for need, that's short-sighted because you're only focused on the short-term need, whereas the draft's a long-term proposition. I think this year's a little different, because I think even if an offensive lineman is not the best player available, for the Jets. There are going to be positions, there are going to be situations, especially at the center position, where it's going to make sense to take that guy, because we're not talking about a short-term need. We're talking about a guy who can protect your quarterback, not only this year, but if you get a center at the right spot of the draft, a guy who can keep your quarterback upright, prevent your quarterback from being hit for the next decade. So that's important. So that's not your typical situation where you're just focusing on need over best player available. You know, this is not a short-sighted move. Even if you're passing on a guy who might be a better overall player, I skew towards offensive line this year. You know, you have to be flexible in your strategy. Normally, I just like taking the best talent available. But this year, you know, if you got to build this offensive line around Sam. You can't have Sam taking as many hits as he took last year. You got to build in the trenches. You got to build to win in the trenches. So there are going to be situations where if a guy makes sense at the position you're drafting, you know, and I'm not saying you just draft a guy at any cost. I'm not saying you totally disregard the board. But if where you are picking, that guy seems like a reasonable pick value at the spot you're picking, then I'd look at it. I think you almost have to take it if you almost have to take a guy like that if he's on the offensive line. The Locked On Jets podcast here on a Mailbag Thursday. Our next question: Doritos, Cool Ranch or original? Cool Ranch. Tacos, hard shell or soft? I like hard shell tacos. I have to be honest with you. I like hard shell tacos. Next question about the 1980s: do you feel Walt Michaels was let go unfairly? So I was not around during this time. So, I mean, I lean on a lot of what my dad tells me about it because my dad was a fan at that point. But just based on what I know, it sounds like, I mean, he almost got that team to the Super Bowl. You let the guy go. And in my view, I mean, I've studied a little bit of Jets history. I would put Michaels as the second greatest coach in Jets history behind Weeb. Like I said, I wasn't around for that time, so I'm kind of leaning on stuff I've read, stuff I've been told, but it certainly seems to me odd that, you know, you let go of a guy who got you that close to the Super Bowl, at least on the surface. Next question is sent by a listener named David. Mike Maccagnan is a disgrace. We've not had anything resembling a competent center since Mangold. Second best center in the league, according to PFF, was available and by all indications wanted to sign with us. Maccagnan does not even make him an offer. The top two outside corners in free agency both signed one-year deals. We have a massive hole at outside corner. We still have a ton of cap space. Instead of shoring up the position for next year and pursuing one of them, we re-signed Darrell Roberts. Is this a sick joke? Even if you don't love Darby or Roby, it's a one-year deal, and we have the money. Come on. We have a massive hole at slot corner. Bryce Callahan was an elite slot corner last year. Instead of pursuing him, we signed Brian Poole, a corner who cannot cover. No, really. This must be a sick joke. Having a corner that is a good blitzer is about as useful as having a nose tackle who can't play the run but is great in coverage. It's just stupid. Buster Screen was a good blitzer but a terrible player. With those three positions filled and an edge rusher in the draft, we could conceivably make a playoff run and maybe even be a legit contender if the stars aligned. I know, big if. Instead, we now have three massive holes at crucial positions, and the team's ceiling is substantially limited because of this. We have a three-year window to win with Darnold on his rookie deal. What is our strategy here? I don't understand. As you once said, the Jets are a complete and total Mickey Mouse operation. My question is this. Would you be willing to split the cost with me to rent an airplane with the banner that reads Fire Maccagnan to fly over Jets training camp? I think this really needs to happen, but I can't afford it on my own. Love the show, and don't listen to the haters who say you talk too slow. Your voice calms me down on my drive home. I frankly need a calming influence when it comes to the Jets and our joke of a GM. David, well, thank you for your kind words. And like, whenever I bring up this stuff about my voice being too slow, I'm doing it jokingly. I mean, you have to be able to laugh at yourself. If you can't laugh at yourself, you can't take yourself too seriously when you do something like this. I'm not pitching in to fly a banner. I did not pitch in when people put the billboards up on Idzik. I don't think it, you know, for all the hype those billboards got, I really don't think that they moved the needle in terms of Idzik getting fired. I think Idzik getting fired happened for other reasons. I think they got a lot of hype, but I don't think they really did a whole lot. I think if you want to make a stand against the team, just don't. If this goes to anybody, if you're upset with the team, don't give the team your money. You know, don't go to the games. That's what the team notices. Team notices empty seats. The team notices, you know, money not being spent on concessions, money not being spent on tickets. That's what the team notices. So if you're that upset, David, I would advise you just don't spend money on the team. And, you know, as far as the other stuff goes, look, and one thing I should emphasize here is, look, nobody knows for sure how any of these moves are going to work out. You know, it's the two centers were risky who were available on the market. I mean, I think that we do have to be fair. They did have some degree of injury risk there. And look, any of these corners, we've seen free agent corners bust. I will say I do question a couple things with the Jets. It's just the positional, they've not focused at all on a corner. They did not focus at all on adding a center. I mean, I think that that's kind of odd. I think conceivably this could really hurt the team this year because they do have some pretty big holes in key spots. And I do kind of question when the whole plan has been we're going to build through free agency, that you leave these key positions that we have all for a year at least. We've been hearing about how free agency was going to fix all the problems. And, you know, people have been kind of getting on me on my website. The Jets absolutely have sold that. I mean, I can point you to where McCagnan and Chris Johnson have said that free agency is going to make a big difference for this team. Free agency is going to be a springboard. That's a quote from McCagnan, a springboard. So, I mean, that for people who are telling me that the Jets have absolutely been selling this, that free agency is going to be a key to their plan. So I question it, you know. Okay, well, let's play devil's advocate and say that all these guys are not very good. Let's say that, you know, the center is an injury waiting to happen. Let's say that the other corners aren't that good. Well, then your plan to build through free agency has some flaws in it. But we'll wait and see. I actually do think, one thing I will say is I do kind of feel like the Jets are set up to have a pretty decent 2019 because you have the quarterback growing. You have you have a lot going. You've spent, I mean, even if you haven't spent the money well, you're going to improve on what the roster you had last year. So, I mean, there are some areas where I think the Jets will be a little better. David, just keep the faith, man. That's all I can say is, I mean, look, I get frustrated too. There are things I don't love that the Jets are doing right now. But hey, it's going to be that much better. One of these days it's going to all click, and maybe it'll click this year. Look, I don't profess to know everything. I don't profess to get everything right. So that's one thing. One thing is I must emphasize is just because John is saying something, just because John's saying this is a dumb move, that doesn't make me right. I'm wrong. I'm wrong on plenty of things. I try and give you my opinion. I try and hopefully I make you think, and hopefully you do think I have something to say, and hopefully you do find that I'm right a lot, but that doesn't mean, look, I'm human. We're all wrong sometimes. So, you know, just go out there and we'll just hope for the best. You know, a good draft would go a long way. If they could add some key pieces, that would go a long way towards fixing the team. But yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, the team does have the quarterback, and, you know, hopefully they'll be able to add some of these, fill some of these key voids in the draft, and hopefully it'll help the team for years to come. So, you know, I hope we're not all distraught over the direction of the team. Next question. If the Jets are willing to trade down from 3, what's the lowest first-round pick in this year's draft you'd want included in the package of picks for returns? Well, I'll tell you. I mean, I'm not against trading all the way down to the bottom of the first. I don't think it's a situation. And there, it has been this way in years past where I'd say, like, hypothetically, I wouldn't want to trade past 10 because that's where the elite talent is. Or, you know, I wouldn't want to trade past 15. Like, I'm fine trading down. I'm fine trading down multiple times this year because I think the Jets are just at the point where they got to have like one of those drafts where they kind of hit the reset button, where they can just kind of add stockpile picks because they need to just infuse a ton of young talent onto this roster to make up for the draft picks that they've missed on in recent years. So I'm fine trading down early. I mean, obviously, like, I'm not going to trade down to 31 if I'm only getting like a fifth round pick. Like, the value has to be there. But like, assuming like I can add a stockpile of 2s and 3s and maybe future first round pick or two, I wouldn't object to trading down, you know, trading way down to the bottom of the first round. You know, it all depends on the package. But I'm not in a situation like I've been in years past where I maybe would have said, no way am I trading past 15. No way am I trading past 10. I'm not there right now. I think the Jets need to have, honestly, the model I'd look to is one of those drafts the Browns had where they just kept trading down a couple years ago. Now, hopefully you hit on some of the picks a little bit better than the Browns did those years. But I think that that's kind of where you have to be. The Jets need to have a big draft class come in. Bring in a lot of players, hopefully a lot of high-quality players, but also start stockpiling for future years. I mean, part of it is this year, look, it's going to be tough to build when you don't have a second-round pick 2 straight years, so I'd like to get a second-round pick back. They didn't have one last year. They don't have one this year. The trade, now look, you had to do it to get a quarterback, but I'd like to see them recoup the second round pick. But I'd like to see them also add picks for future years. You know, look at New England. Every single year, New England makes some trade. They trade like a fourth round pick and get a veteran player who helps them at the deadline, fills a big need. And one of the reasons they're able to do it is because they always have an extra fourth round pick or two. They always have one. So it's not, you're not put in the position where you have to choose, well, am I going to be able to draft a player in the fourth round, or am I going to be able to help my team now? Well, if you have an extra fourth round pick, you can do both. You can trade one of them for a player who can help you now, and you'll still have a fourth round pick to draft a guy in that spot in the draft. So, you know, start stockpiling picks and, you know, start making some of those, you know, far-sighted New England trades. Like, you know, you're in the third round, one of your third round picks, and the team's giving you a two for next year. Do one of those. You know, start thinking that way. I'm fine trading down. As far as I'm concerned, unless we get crazy here, a trade down is not going to be a bad move for the Jets at any point in this year's draft. Unless we just like totally lose any sense of value and just start trading down for the heck of, you know, don't get anything in return. And our last question, ethics. Haskins looked great at the pro day. Huge Giants contingent took him to dinner the night before. Seemed very interested. Do the Jets call the Giants at the draft and put out an offer for a trade, intimating that the Jets have other offers in their pocket? I'm not asking whether this is proper or whether you would do it. Just my sense of the NFL trade talk is that there is a lot of a subterfuge that goes on, and whether you think this would be within the way the NFL business is conducted. How would the Giants ever verify? Interesting. Ethics. Bringing me back to college philosophy, Aristotle. I think that, yeah, I mean, I've never been in an NFL war room, but I gather that's kind of how teams do business, where you're trying to kind of create interest. You know, you're trying to give another team the idea that something you have is coveted. I mean, that's kind of how trades are. I would imagine that's how trades are done. You said that you're not asking me if it will happen. I don't think it'll happen, because I think the Jets are not going to want to be viewed as facilitating the Giants drafting their franchise quarterback, for the same reason they did not call the Giants last year. They did not think the Giants would be willing to facilitate the Jets getting a franchise quarterback. But I mean, I don't think there's anything unethical about that. I think that, you know, you're trying to, you don't have to lie. You don't have to tell them. You can just, like you said, you can just kind of hint at it. You can hint at the idea if you wanted to do it. I don't think that that's necessary. I mean, I would imagine, from what I gather, from what I know about how teams work, from how, what I've spoken with people who've worked in the NFL, I think so. Like, I've never been in the war room myself, so I can't give you 100% guarantee that that's the case. But I mean, I think that that's the type of stuff that you typically see. I think that that's, you know, that's kind of how business is done. You're trying to generate interest in what you got if you're trying to sell something. So, yeah, I think so. Anyway, so that's all for our show. Thank you, everybody. There were so many questions. We could not get to all of them, but I certainly appreciate everybody who did send questions. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify. Leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Have a great Thursday, everybody. We'll be back again tomorrow.